If you've got your Bibles, let's go to 2 Samuel chapter 9. And we're going to talk from a passage of King David. And we're just going to see where this goes. My glasses just did not help me. They hurt me. And I can't see. Let's read. Now David said, Is there still anyone who is left of the house of Saul that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake? And there was a servant of the house of Saul whose name was Ziba. So when they had called him to David, the king said to him, "Are you Ziba?" He said, "At your service." Then the king said, "Is there not still someone in the house or of the house of Saul to whom I may show the kindness of God?" And Ziba said to the king, "There's still a son of Jonathan who is lame in his feet." And here we go. So the king said to him, "Where is he?" And Ziba said to the king, "Indeed, he's in the house of Machir, the son of Amiel in Lodabar." Then King David sent and brought him out of the house of Machir, the son of Amiel, from Lodabar. I want to talk to you this morning just on a brief thought entitled "Shattered, Not Forgotten." Shattered, not forgotten. I wonder if you've ever felt in a place of being left. Anybody ever felt left? You've gone through life, and people have gone through life with you to a certain extent, and it seems as though they've moved on, but you feel left. Well, maybe he's still living in the same household, but it's just not the same, and you feel left. You've considered some things in other people's lives, and you've watched them just move. Moving upward, prospering, moving onward. And you look at yourself and you begin feeling as though you're left. Man, if we looked at that word "left" and we focused on that word as we typically would, being left is like forgotten, being left behind, being. But there's another way that I want us to look at left this morning, because we won't get any of this if we don't understand left. See, left actually means also not just to be left behind, but left means survive. I've gone through and I've went through, but I'm still here. I might be left behind, but I'm left. It's like having leftovers. It's after the fact, but they're still here. That's, you might feel left, but you've survived it. You've gone through some hell in your life up to this point, but it might not have seemed like it should have, but you're still. See, too many of you've let left bring a negative connotation on your life, and it has left you thinking negatively about who you are, what you are, where you're at, where you can go, where you can't go. So many of us, we decide the destiny of our life based on the disabilities in which we have. Well, I can't. Pastor, you don't understand. Can I tell you this morning, I do. I understand. I know what it is to feel left. I get it. At one point in our life, we all have felt as though we've been left behind. But see, you need to rejoice about being left, because what has left you has destroyed others. Where your circumstance and your situation has left you, has killed others, has taken them out, has left them broken and living in despair, just being left is hard enough, isn't it? But we will set and play the reason of why we're left over and over and over again in our own minds, causing us to see nothing but defeat. We don't see any way out. Well, if they wouldn't have done this, I would have been. So I don't want you to go through this whole thing this morning thinking that being left behind means that you're dead, that it's over, that it's done. Can I tell somebody this morning that the King is sending for you? The King. Charlie, I'll talk to you because they're not listening. The King is sending for you. Even though you feel lost and left in despair, the King, he's asking about you this morning. He said, is there still not someone that I can show the goodness of God to? Aren't you glad that the King doesn't forget? Aren't you? Michelle, I'm going to need some help this morning. The rest of them still sleeping over their coffee. They're still there. See, though you've struggled, though you feel alone, though you feel as you're running a race from behind, you must not discount the fact that you are still here. You are still running the race. Just because you're in last place doesn't mean you're out. It just means you still have a ways to go. Have you ever ran a race? See, I hated running track. The long stuff. Boy, give me 220 yards is all I could handle. This little boy in these short legs, that 220 yards, that boy was done. Toast. Then they want to put me in a 400. Man, I can't make half the track in a good time, and you want me to run the whole track? But you know what I found out sometimes in certain races? As I was running, I would always be bringing up the rear in the 400 because these little old legs couldn't go but a couple feet a second. But what I found was the perseverance, the tenacity that I wasn't going to be last. Even though I got up, and see, there were sometimes you would go and run districts and regionals, and you would always know the standings of the ones that you were racing. You knew if they were like first in the state or second in the region. Come on. And I'm sitting here going, boy, I mean, I was already intimidated just by seeing their statistics. And I have to get up on the toe on the line, and I got to get ready to run a guy that I already know has been running 440 meters, and he's been running that thing at 47 seconds. And I'm going, good Lord. Man, if I would break a minute, I was happy. Apparently, y'all have never run races from behind. How many of you feel like you've run life from behind? Man, I put the toe on the line, and I, at that time, I, I mean, I knew of Jesus. See, I wish they had that song back then. Instead of Jesus take the wheel, Jesus take the field. You know what I mean? Huh? You with me? And I'm sitting there toeing the line, and I'm looking across, and I'm going, boy, this dude will eat my lunch. I'd already lost the race before I started running. Because we base our outcome on our disability. And I had to learn as I grew running that there's always an opportunity that someone ahead of you may not be able to sustain. So I had to learn to pace myself. Come on, church. I had to learn to not try to catch up with the man in the front. You pace yourself. See, when I would pace myself to the guy right in front of me, when I would pace myself with him, eventually he would fall off. And I went, uh-oh. So I would have to push harder because I had to pace myself to the next guy in front of me. And I would begin to pace myself with him. And then he would begin to fall off. And then I would see another one in front. And I would have to push and push and push. Now, maybe I may not win. I may not come in first, but I wasn't going to be left behind. See, I put it in my mind, pace yourself one at a time. This is what you need to do. Pace yourself through life one day at a time. Quit worrying about where you're wanting to be in 20 years and start thinking about the day that you're in. Because so many times you'll worry about where you want to be and you'll look at your disabilities and you'll quit. And I don't have the money to get there. I don't have the education to move forward. I wasn't brought up in an environment that offered that. I wasn't this. I wasn't that. My dad was this. My mom was that. And we base our life's outcome on the disabilities in which we've lived. But aren't you glad, even though you've been shattered, you're not been forgotten.
Amen.
Come on, see, I got excited sitting in the office this morning. Just thinking about how far back I was left and how much God made up some time. See, God made a promise in the Bible about I will renew the days. I'll renew the time. You can renew your own finances. Go get a second and third and fifth, 12th job. But only God can renew the time. See, renewing the time takes something. It takes something greater than what you and I have. We can't turn the clock back. See, we get one chance of that at a year. And we mess that up because we go to sleep early anyway. Instead of making that hour up, man, going, hey, I got an extra hour today to move forward or to do. No, we still go to bed at the same time. Okay, if you know the clock's being set back an hour at 2 o'clock, how many of you are staying up until 2 o'clock in the morning? Oh, that's just because you ain't got nothing up here, man. You done lost yourself. Ain't nobody in their right mind staying up till 2 o'clock in the morning just to watch this. I can turn the clock back now. Ain't nobody doing it. We don't do that. Is not, okay, I'm going to give you, okay, there's less than 0.1% that's in here that says they will. The statistics aren't good. You've survived it. You've made it where other people haven't. Sometimes being left isn't that bad. See, if I got to weigh my choices of being left behind or dying off, I think I'd rather be left. At least I survived. At least I've made it to that point. David said, is there still anyone left that I may show the kindness of God? Is there still not anyone? Is there one person? Man, I can see that happening in heaven right now. Holy Spirit, just one. Is there just still one person that I can go and bring them to the King's table? Is there one more person that I can go and get that has felt left behind? Disappointment, depression, sickness, divorces, job losses. Is there one person that is feeling left behind that I can go and share the goodness of God to? I was just glad that he peered through some ugliness of my life and seen that I was still here. Oh, I was left. I was left. But I was still here. And I'm sitting and looking at you guys this morning. You're still here. Some of you are still going through hell. But you're still here. Some of you have been beaten up and bruised so much that you threw in the towel at one time in your life. But look at you now. You're still here. You've wanted to quit, but you're still here. You've wondered, how am I going to make it through? How am I going to make it through this month? Well, we've started another month. Still here. Left behind. But still here. Even though you're unable to come on your own, doesn't mean you aren't good enough to receive this kindness in which the King is talking about. See, I have to look at, we've got to sit and look at Mephibosheth. Mephibosheth is this crippled boy that was of no fault of his own, just like you and I. Let me break some of this down. Mephibosheth, no fault of his own, became crippled in both feet, leaving him in a posture of not being able to do it on his own. Have you ever been left there? Oh, and here's another good part of it. He was crippled by someone he trusted. I wonder how many of you have been crippled by someone you've trusted. Oh, they may not have crippled you physically. I mean, you're going to have to put this stuff together this morning too. I'm asking you to do a little bit of your work. I'm up here doing my work. You do a little bit of your work and add 1 + 1. It ain't always got to be physical. I'm talking about your spiritual state. I'm talking about the ones that have betrayed you and talked about you and stuck you in the back and left you hanging, and you're supporting 15 kids and... Okay, maybe not 15, 2 or 3. It's by someone you trusted. And now here you are living in a place called Lodabar. It's a dry place. It's a desert. It's a place of no communication. How many of you have ever been hurt into a place to where you didn't want to talk to anybody about it? That's just where the enemy wants you. See, being left behind and surviving, that's I had to remind somebody this morning, because the enemy wants you to believe that when you're left behind, it's over. I'm here to tell you that the King is sending somebody. By no fault of his own, he's left crippled. He's actually, that word crippled in both feet actually literally means shattered. His ankles were shattered. And if you research Mephibosheth, you'll start, I don't want to say it too many times because I don't know what might happen. Some of you might be thinking of speaking in tongues. Some of you might be thinking, I'm cussing somebody. Just hang on. Let's call him Miff. Let's call him something. But Mephibosheth, here he is, by no means of his own account. He's left crippled and shattered. And his name, if you mind his name literally means shattered. shattered, but not forgotten. Set in a place just like you and I. We sit and we live in our hurt and our pain and our letdowns and our disappointments and our lacks. Anybody ever not done something because you lack something to do? Come on, at least we got three honest people up in church. Liars go to hell. That's just a little handout this morning just to let you know. I don't want you to get hung up in something. Someone that he trusted dropped him. Have you ever put so much into someone and they drop you? Not on purpose. See, some of you think that you got to be dropped on purpose to be hurt. He wasn't dropped on purpose. It was by accident. She was actually fleeing. She was trying to help him. But along the way of helping, she took a stumble. And unfortunately, he was a product of her. We're going to get to a good part here in a second. You may not have done it to yourself. It's just been done. Oh, you might be left. But see, you ought to be rejoicing about being left. I just explained to you that being left means you survived. It's a good thing. You made it. I said you made it. Amen. See, when the friends that you had, when you hung around and they didn't, you made it. See, y'all don't understand unless you have friends and family that die because of overdosing on drugs or taking their life because they feel so far left behind that there is no other alternative. And I'm trying to help save somebody this morning by helping you understand in your own mind that you're never too far gone, that God can't keep up. The Bible says that nothing can separate you from the love of, no height, no depth can keep you from the love of God. You're not too far gone. I know. Pastor, you don't know. You don't go home. You don't go home to what I go home to. I know. I get it. But you're not too far gone. You don't know the dreams and the nightmares. I know. I get it. But you're not too far gone. Pastor, I'm getting tired. I'm getting worn. I got it. I understand. Look, I understand what it is to walk bent over. I totally get it. But you're not too far gone. Oh, matter of fact, you're right in the place that he needs you to be. Pastor, you telling me that God wants me in my stuff. Can I tell you that sometimes you're so hard-headed, you need to be. I shouldn't have said that. We was right there in the fields for a minute. I shouldn't have said that. But that's the truth. Because sometimes we do bring it on ourselves. But thanks be to God that the King still found somebody to send. See, oh, come on. Here's a good word for somebody. You've gotten somebody that was introduced into your life. And that person was the one that the King sent. to bring you back to the table so that you can eat of his food, sat at his banquet table. But see, you can't even get to the king's table and enjoy what God has prepared for you because you're still living in what was, and you're getting hung up because you can't forgive. You've decided not to forgive because you want them to hurt as much as you hurt. Can I tell you that you're only hurting yourself even more? Because what that person done to you, whether they ever become your friend again, whether they ever say, I get it and I'm sorry, whether they ever reintroduce themselves back into your life again, that is not the thing that will ever release you. You forgive for you. You can't go through life with bitterness and get to where God's trying to take you. It's in that journey that God's trying to shake that off of you. Oh, it's got me sidetracked. I got some notes this morning. I'd say that there's some of us in here that we've suffered a mishandling. See, you've gone through some stuff in your life because someone mishandled you. Can you imagine how he must have felt? Suffering in a place where everybody had to do everything for him. Now, I'm not talking to the lazy people because y'all enjoy that. I'm talking to the people that don't want that. I'm talking to the people that refuse to call somebody when they do need help because they're going to do it themselves. I'm talking to those people. And you're not able to do it because you can't, because someone mishandled you. You're the one I'm talking to this morning. Wonder what he must have felt like. Not being able to gather the pieces and put them back together. Not having an opportunity in which he could stand on his own. Come on, church, follow me for a minute. Because you're sitting in here this morning, some of you feel just like that now. You feel as though you've been left so far behind, there is no catching up. Because I can't. I've gotten so far behind, I can't catch up. I'm so far down in my emotion and my mindset that not even a Disney movie in Christmas time will cause me to smile. I'm going to take you to a movie. We're going to go watch a Christmas movie. Do I have your attention this morning? Is God working on you this morning? See, some of you think you've got it all under control. And you're the one that's left so far behind. Sometimes God brings a realization to our life to let us know just how far we can be without him. And when he does that, we blame him. Yep. Read a post the other day. I wanted to comment and I didn't. But I read a post the other day. It said, there is nothing stronger than a man who has rebuilt himself. And boy, oh boy, oh boy, oh boy. My fingers got caught on fire. I was delete. Because can I tell you, there is nothing stronger than a God that we serve. Amen. And there ain't no man that can rebuild himself to a point he thinks his strength is beyond measure.
That's right.
Because even at your strongest point, even at your most glorified place in life, at your most credentialed point in school, you still nothing but filthy rags in the eyes of an almighty God. But aren't you glad that he can look through your arrogance, your egotistical attitude, your bad behaviors, your poor decisions, and say, is there still not someone that I can send and share the goodness of God? Man, the king sent somebody for you this morning. He sent somebody this morning for you while you were nestled in your bed and sugar plums was dancing in your head. Oh, I'll play on that all month. When it was quiet in the house, not even a mouse was stirring, right? I just love the idea that no matter how crippled I am in life, the king is still looking to send someone for me. Now, don't y'all get all weirded out on me and y'all start going, ooh, I met this person the other day and it must be the Lord that sent. Be careful. Be careful, little eyes, what you see. But I can tell you that there's times in your life God will put people in it. And if you won't be so stubborn and bullheaded, and you listen to those people that say, hey, I get it, I understand, but you can't sit here all your life. Don't get mad at them for trying to help you. Get mad at yourself for sitting.
That's right. That's right.
The king sent somebody for you this morning.
Amen.
The best part about this whole text was the fact that he didn't just send the servant to him, but the servant went to him, picked him up, and took him out. Okay. All right. I'll preach that for a minute. Yeah, you can come just as you are, but you can't stay who you are. You can come just as you are, but you can't stay that way. You can come just like you are, but you can't stay the same. Oh, because who the Son? Uh-oh. Girl, you got to preach it. Help me preach. Who the Son sets free is free indeed. Who in here's left? You should have been the first one to raise your hand. Who in here is left? See, you missed. How did you miss? Okay, I'm going all the way back to the beginning. Good morning. Welcome to One Church. Now, we're just going to make this 30-minute little sermon into an hour and a half prayer vigil. I said, who in here is left? Every one of you should be standing on you. Because without the king sending someone to you, you would have died where you were. But the fact of the matter is, you were just left. And you survived it. See, if I can get you to understand that you were just left and not killed, you would be excited when the king sends somebody to you. Okay, fine. You're still here. You've survived it. Broken? Yes. But here. Hurt? Yes. But here. Struggling? Woo! Amen, hallelujah. Absolutely struggling? But you're here. Shattered? Not forgotten. Why are you still living where they dropped you? I'm not going to preach the sermon on Jesus and Lazarus, but I want to tell you a part about Jesus and Lazarus. When he came to his family, Lazarus' family, he said, take me to where you have laid him. Take me to where you've given up. Take me to where you thought there was no turnaround. Take. Shattered, but not forgotten. I ought to just drop y'all on your heads right there and let you go home. But I'm pretty close. It's typical. I heard that. Some of what we experience causes us to be left in Lodabar, where we sit shattered, where we're cut off from communication. We don't want to talk to nobody, and we gauge our abilities off of our disabilities. We're replaying the tragedies of our life. We are living in our emotion. Where you are today in your weakness is the strongest place God can be. If you don't write anything else down, I want you to write this down this morning. Without Him, I am nothing. We've got to come to a realization that we need Jesus. See, He's the only one that can set us free. He's the only one that can make us free. He's the only one that can save us. He's the only one that can heal. He is everything to you and I. Nothing is too big for God. Let me leave you with this. The king is sending someone for you. Let's stand. Don't be looking at your watches going, holy cow, what the preacher done did. I mean, they ain't even started warming up the turkey in the microwave. at the restaurant, and I'm gonna be early. Give you plenty of time to drink some iced tea before you get it. Somebody needed to know that the king is sending somebody for him. You know who you are. I can probably grab you, a couple of you, by the hand and walk you to the throne room. But every time I look at your little white eyes, you get nervous. And so I don't want to even come and get you. I'd just rather let you just sit there and just pray that the Holy Spirit can handle the rest. But I want to grab some of you and shake a knot in you and say, the king has sent someone for you. Don't leave here this morning resting in your place of discomfort, hurt and pain, disabilities and agonies. Don't sit there. The king has sent somebody for you. Would you please let them take you to the table? I don't know if he said it or not, by YouTube, by Facebook and everybody else. Goodbye, good. This is your time. Look, if I had it my way, I wouldn't even throw public stuff. Who cares, man? I'm at a point, who cares? Listen, you can spread the gospel just as fast as the internet. If you get out there and open your mouth and quit being so little. Ooh. Did you go to church this morning? Well, I went Sunday. Yeah, I went. After the king sent somebody for you and pulled you out of Lodabar and set you at the table. Oh, thank you, Holy Spirit. And set you at the table in your disability and let you eat. Oh, wait a minute. Uh-oh, I got to go. I got to go one more. Hang on. Verse 8, check this out. I love this part. Somebody needs to hear this. This is why I was just reminded of this. Who are you? Verse 8. Then he bowed himself. Mephibosheth. Y'all say that three times real fast. Mephibosheth. Then he bowed himself and said, what is your servant? See, he bowed himself. He postured himself to receive. What is it that your servant, that you should look upon him such, watch this, a dead dog as I. You've got to come out of a mentality of dead. You've got to step. You just entered into the king's palace. You are alive and well. He's still thinking that he's dead. He's come so far. He was left. Parentheses, survived. He was left, but in the prince, he survived. He's come from surviving to sitting at the king's table and eating. He's eating with the king's family as one of his very own. Your poor little disability eating filet mignon. Huh? With some buttercream. Eating one of them Jeffrey baked potatoes. Whew, if you don't know, you don't know. But how many of you, see, this is why. This is the easiest part of my job. Because I can look at people and say, you've gone through it. Because most people that have gone through it is looking for a way out of it. And they go to church. Prophetic anointing. It's not. I just know you've been beaten, broken, busted, disgusted. You're hurting. You're disappointed. You've been betrayed. Your feelings have been upset. You've gone through divorce. You've gone through bad relationships. You've gone through toxic relationships. You've been here. You've been there. You've been everywhere. You've tried it. You've got a t-shirt. We listened to a guy yesterday. I think it was yesterday. He said, ate a bag of chips. I ate the chips and threw away the bag. He said, I've been through it all. I've been there. I know that. But man, when that one comes to you and takes you to the table of the King, amen. You see, this is where Christians fail. You think that when you're introduced to Jesus, everything is fine. False gospel. Because whatever it is that you were living in, you're still living in it. Oh boy, oh boy. See, I had a problem with this yesterday. That's why I posted. I don't like living under condemnation of the enemy getting inside of my head and telling me that I have to do and I have to do and I have to do. I had to look at him yesterday and go, you know what? You a liar and go back to hell. Because I don't have to do anything. He done it all. Once. That's all that need to happen. So you take that down to somebody else. Leave me alone. Leave me out of it. And I said, now I got to protect my flock and everybody else that listens. Sinned. You don't have to live under condemnation. When you're invited into the King's palace and you pull up a seat, I thought I was done. Y'all might have to sit down. Now y'all going to know how I feel when I stand on my feet the whole time and y'all get wore out in two songs. And y'all go, oh, boy, thank God that's over. And I've stood up through that before you got here during this. Just relax. So Mephibosheth dwelt, oh, man, I wish I, can I go 45 more minutes? Verse 13. So Mephibosheth dwelt in Jerusalem, for he ate continually at the king's table. Y'all listening? And he was lame in both feet. So does it mean when you come to the king's table, all is well? No. It don't. It just means you eating at the king's table. I wish I had. We're going to do old time revivals. Y'all ready for old time? We're going to do the old time church down by the creek gospel songs. We're going to be spending, I'm going to scare everybody out of here. We're going to start, y'all might roll up in here on a Wednesday night at 7 o'clock expecting to be rolling out at 8:30, and the doors will never shut until about 1:30, 2 o'clock, and we're just going to have a Holy Ghost fit. And then we're going to carry it on for another month or two or three or five. He ate at the king's table and both feet. We're lame. You don't have to have it all together to eat at the king's table. Amen. Stop acting like it.
Yeah.
Man, when you will open yourself up and you will be transparent before God, not me. You ain't gotta tell me nothing. I'm not your God. But what I am telling you, you better present it to him. He can't fix what you're unwilling to let go of. He can't take it from you because you keep balling it back up, putting it in your pocket. Oh, you might stuff it away for a moment to shake the pastor's hand. And when you go out the door, you reach back in your pocket on the way home just to be reminded that both feet are lame. And I'm here to tell you that the King has sent someone for you. Sometimes I let righteous anger just stir up because I want to just Man, it... Yeah. I just told you to be transparent. I'll be... It weakens me to watch a people that's been brought to the king's table and they refuse to eat because they feel unworthy. If you were unworthy, he would have never sent someone for you.
Yes.
Are you listening? Yeah, you might not have it all together. Yeah, your life may look like a box of breadcrumbs. Just shattered and scattered. But can I tell you, you're still worthy because he ain't forgotten. Matter of fact, he sent out. See, this is what I loved about it. I told y'all, I'm back in it again. He sent outside of his house. Asking if there's anybody else. And somebody from outside his house had to come and tell him, there is a man. It's Joshua, not Joshua. What was his name? No. Jonathan. Who said that? Girl, you better stop reading the Bible. It was Jonathan's son. It was Saul's grandson. He'd done it out of the love for him. See, if we could have that kind of love outside of our home. Now, I'm talking to church people now. Put your steel toe boots on. If you quit worrying so much about what's going on in here and worry about what's going on out there and finding who needs to be brought to the king's table, you would have less offense sitting inside the church. You and your grown self acting like you 12. No offense. How old are you?
11.
Okay, well, see? All right, I'm done with you. I am. I'm done with you.